You're listening to audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, where we train students to preach the Word and reach the world. For more free resources like this one, visit www.swbts.edu/media-resources.
Dr. Patterson, thank you for the privilege today to break open the Word of God this morning. And thank you for the fellowship with Ms. Patterson last evening. And to my faculty and friends that I see, it's a joy to be back on the campus and to be able to share with you today. Join with me today as we turn to a familiar passage in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6, as we look at the Sermon on the Mount. And today I'd like to discuss the subject of fasting. Jesus addressed his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount and was concerned about authentic worship. And in chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, we find his instruction on a spiritual discipline that many of us know about, but I believe few of us practice. Jesus expected that we would give. He expected that we would pray. And moreover, he expected that there would be a time in our spiritual walk when we would fast. And so in verse 16, he writes, or John, Matthew writes, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, that they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Heavenly Father, I pray that my words would not fall to the ground. I ask that your word would find its place in every heart. Father, please fill our cups to overflowing so that we can drink from the saucer today. In Jesus' name I pray. Jesus taught us carefully with a solemn warning as he opened this chapter. I remind you today that the worship of Almighty God is in spirit and in truth. Jesus expected when we practice our religion, when we practice our faith, that it was important that we be on guard, that we be aware, that we take heed, that we not have any pretense or showmanship in our worship. In fact, in chapter 6 and verse 1, the very beginning, he issued this whole context here as a warning that you and I should be on guard of being trying to be noticed by men as we practiced our religion. He said to take heed in verse 1 that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. The idea there is that you would not want to be on stage. The idea of being a spectacle for people to observe and others to glare at. Authentic worship begins with a focus that we're on the scene for God, not for men. He also said three times when he talked about giving and when he talked about praying and when he talked about fasting, that we were not to be, as he said in verse 16, hypocrites. Now, those in that day would clearly understand that he was referring to those who were play actors and wore masks to hide their true identity. And Jesus is concerned when you and I come before him and that we show our piety before him, we reverence him, that there's authenticity and that he knows that we come into his presence because he sees our hearts. He doesn't want to see anything fake on our faces. And so it's in this context, in this idea of a solemn warning, which frankly is needed to be heeded today, that there be no pretense or showmanship when we come into the presence of Almighty God to worship him. Now that would never happen among God's people, would it? People trampling the courts of God, drawing near to him with their lips while their hearts are far from him. Our modern day preachers don't need to hear that, do they? Where the churches have become spectacles, bringing in worldly ideas to try to somehow gin up some excitement and draw people to God. God desires that we worship him in spirit and in truth. And so today, as we consider God's instruction and warning on fasting as an act of worship, let us heed this instruction so that you and I can turn our fasts into a feast. It is possible when you and I fast for 24 hours that you and I can actually come away more satisfied than if we had sat down with a Dairy Queen Blizzard. It's possible that you and I can go without physical food and find something far greater when we sit at His table. Jesus did it for 40 days. And if we'll heed His precautions today and His instructions, then, beloved, when you walk away from your fast, you'll be feasting. Step one in making your fast a feast begins by wearing the proper dinner attire. Did you see what Jesus said here? There is something that you and I should clothe ourselves with when we fast. Now, stop and think about that. Usually when you're invited to dinner, you want to know what to wear, right? And fasting, we're not eating, Chris. I thought we're abstaining from food. Well, yes, we're eating in a different way. And it's important that you and I wear the proper clothing when we go into the presence of the Lord in that secret place, and when we hunger for Him, when we hunger to know what He desires for us to do. Verse 16 says that when you fast, so it is an assumption that you are practicing this today. I mean, you do give, right? Just because you became students, you didn't stop giving to the Lord, did you? You do pray, right? Well, Jesus says, moreover, when we fast. He doesn't say how often. He doesn't say with how long. He just says when you do it. When you hunger for Me more than the things of this world, when you seek Me and you're passionately desiring to do what I've called you to do, there's a certain attire you should wear. First off, He says, don't do it like the Pharisees. Don't wear what they're wearing. They paint themselves with a sad countenance. They disfigure their faces so that they can appear before men to be fasting. These individuals wanted everyone to know that they were suffering for God. As they entered into the public places, they wanted everyone to know that they were going without. And Jesus says, don't be like them, those that parade themselves before men to show their piety among the masses. They did this when they gave their prayers. They stood and gave long prayers for the people with their long words, trying to impress them. They did it when they gave their offering, blowing trumpets so everyone would see what they were throwing into the copper tins. When they fasted, they did the same thing. They wanted people to notice them and their worship. But it's different for you and I. Jesus says that we don't disfigure ourselves. We don't paint a gloomy look upon our faces. We're not more interested in appearing to be fasting than fasting itself as they were. It's different for our disciples. And in stark contrast, He says that you and I, verse 17, when we fast, we should anoint our heads and wash our faces. Now, the anointing of the head symbolized the blessing of Almighty God. You anointed your head. There was a fragrance about the individual when they put this oil on, and perhaps it helped with drying of the skin in that arid region. But there was clearly a recognition that when they walked into a place, there was a sweet fragrance about them. But it's interesting that He said, wash your face. Now, usually we wash our faces after we've eaten, right? I mean, some of us really know how to lather it on, right? If you don't, just follow me and my children to a cafeteria sometime. We know how to put it all on ourselves. Jesus says, no, you're not going to that table to eat. You're going to My table to eat. And when you're feasting at My table, present yourself accordingly. Wash your face. It's pleasant to be clean. It's pleasant to walk into to a public place after you've been in secret with Him, feasting at His table, and know that no one around you knows what's going on but He. And He sees and He knows. And you and I are clean and pleasantly exuding the fragrance of Christ. Jesus says, don't let the outward appearance suggest that anything else is going on or that anything has changed. You and I should not cross the threshold of any building where there are individuals and say, oh, look at me, I'm suffering today for Jesus. We cherish our great standing as we fast before the Father, we fast before the Son and the Spirit enabling us, looking unto Him saying, feed Me today from Your table. And when we go in there, we've got to have the right attire. The second thing that will help you and I to turn our fast into a feast is to scrutinize your appetite. Did you notice what the Pharisees were hungry for as they trumpeted their offerings, as they paraded with their prayers? They were ravenous for the applause of men. They hungered for it. They wanted more of it. They so detested Jesus because the masses were leaving them to follow Him that they would want to crucify Him. We fast to scrutinize our appetites. That which the Creator said is good to eat and to find sustenance. Something that the sovereign Creator wove into us, that you and I would find sustenance and satisfaction outside of ourselves by eating. We were created that way. Pointing us, I believe, to something spiritually important, the gospel. That you and I need something outside of ourselves to sustain us from the day we were born, and we longed for the pure milk of our mother's breast. We were designed to recognize we had a need beyond ourselves. And that which is a good and natural thing, the world and the devil, they've corrupted it. They've twisted it completely. They know that you and I have appetites, and they will gladly feed them. They will even feed them and give you shovelfuls of stuff to try to satisfy the cravings of your appetites. The world knows that you and I are consumers. We consume things. We are marketed that way. You realize and recognize on Sunday morning when you get the Sunday paper that it weighs about 4/5 advertisements and 1/5 actual news. They understand that. Oh, I'm sorry, you don't take the newsprint today. You just click and point. And even webmasters understand that. And they design their web pages for the consumer, so that they can whet your appetite and draw you in and give you just a little bit more and a little bit more. And the funny thing is, it never satisfies. We just crave and hunger and thirst for more and more and more. And so when we're fasting, we're coming before the Almighty God and we're recognizing that, Lord, we don't want to be gluttonous with that which the world has to offer us. We're not seeking to desire to find satisfaction in this world. God, we know that there's only satisfaction from outside of us, and it's from you. And we're hungering for it. God, feed me. Satisfy the desires of my soul through the gospel of your Son, Jesus. The marketers want you to come back to them. They want you and I to be defined by what we want. In fact, they're very gifted at it. They just give us numbers now. And they can pigeonhole you and I in a slot and know right just how to advertise to us. But when I fast, I'm seeking to be fed by the Father. Now, it wouldn't be the case today that we're like the Pharisees in any way, would it? Desiring to be seen by men, hungering for the applause of men. I mean, we're not self-absorbed, are we? We're not focused on ourselves in an iPod generation. I'm wondering, how many followers do you have? How many texts and tweets do you send out a day? It's possible that you and I could be so self-absorbed, and that's the purpose of fasting, to help us see less of ourselves and to recognize that that growling within your stomach is a declaration to God that you need something more, and only He can supply it. Curb my appetite when I fast. I slay that appetite that is destroying me, perhaps a sinful appetite. I choose humility and insignificance that He might have preeminence in my life at that point. And I sit before His table, a wretched sinner, grateful for the grace of God. As I fast, God reveals that there's other appetites I may have. You may hunger for a substance today. You just need a fix. It could be a drink or a drug, a double mocha latte, or even sex. When you and I fast, God is scrutinizing what we're hungering for and saying, that won't fly with me. I'm sorry. That's got to be crucified. That's got to be destroyed in your flesh. I cry to Almighty God, God, speak to me. Have you made me to find satisfaction in you and you alone, not from this world, and I want your will for my life. What I come to realize when I fast is that I'm sitting at a table where God not only feeds me, but reveals to me what He wants me to do. Are you familiar with John chapter 4 and the lady at the well? A lot of times when we preach that passage or discuss it, we always talk about the woman and the water. She came and was there drawing water, and an interesting thing took place. Jesus engaged her and took her from a physical desire, that for a thirst, be offering a living water that would quench her thirst forever, to recognizing some spiritual needs in her life, so much so that she ran away and left her water pot. She had found the living water. But something interesting takes place in John's gospel there that most of us just pass right by in John chapter 4. I just want to point this out today. Over in John chapter 4, before Jesus engaged the Samaritan woman, he said in verse 5, actually, verse 1, I'll just back up. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee and needed to go through Samaria. And he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. There we go. Ready? Verse 6. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by a well. It was about the sixth hour. And a woman came to draw water, and Jesus said, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Now look down at verse 31. When they returned, verse 30, they came out of the city, they came to him. In the meantime, the disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." And Jesus said, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." What? The disciples said to one another, "Has someone brought him anything to eat? Did someone go and get him takeout while we were gone?" What is he talking about? Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." You see, when you fast, you're not leaving a table full of food to go to an empty plate. You're going to a table that the Father has for you that is so full and so plenty and so satisfying that God will reveal what it is He's calling you to do, what His desire is, and that is the food we must crave and hunger for. That is the food that we walk away from this table and we walk to the Lord's table knowing that God and God alone has food for us to eat. We talk about worshiping Him in secret, and it's in that secret place that He reveals His will for us. Our Father turns our fast into a feast as we saddle up to His table. The problem today is we're too busy eating at the world's tables, and they're just shoving food before us. Anything that will satisfy your hunger and desire, they'll put all types of garnishments upon it to make you eat it and be attracted to us. For some, our appetites are reigning over us. And it's in this process of scrutinizing my appetite that I'm asking God, destroy this in my life. Father, have your will in your way in this matter. And no longer let this appetite reign over me. My fast becomes a feast as I slay that gluttonous appetite in order to surrender to what the Lord has for me. Finally, our fast becomes a feast when we find satisfaction with the Father's reward. Back in Matthew chapter 6, he writes for us there in verses 16 through 18. In fact, throughout the whole chapter, this sermon on the Father, often repeating the term Father, but often repeating the term reward here in verses 16 through 18 in the entire chapter. God has a reward to satisfy you and me. In fact, He wants to satisfy your hunger and show that He can provide for you and I in better ways than the world can. When, verse 18, we wash our head, our faces, we anoint our heads. Why? So that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. For the one that hungers for God today, He will reward you. In fact, God walked His people through the wilderness in the Old Testament to teach them that He would satisfy them and He alone. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 8, if I might read here briefly, in verse 2 and verse 3, "You shall remember the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. So He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. Why? That he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Why did God allow his people to hunger? Why is it that we hunger and long and desire to know him? Because only he can satisfy us. He wants us to walk and fast in our daily practice so that we daily recognize that. Continue being reminded that my God alone can satisfy us. It's the case, as he warned them in Deuteronomy chapter 8, that there was a danger, a warning even for them that day, that perhaps they would eat and be satisfied and forget their God. I wonder if the absence of fasting, the teaching on fasting in our churches, is not a contributing factor to our worldliness and our desire for the things of the flesh. The people aren't being taught as God's people were humbled and taught in the wilderness. He told them, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest you, when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, that you forget God. Is it possible that we are so satisfied with what the world is shoveling into our plates that we're not hungering and thirsting for him? God wants you and I to realize we find our nourishment outside of ourselves, and it's through the gospel of Jesus Christ. My fast becomes a feast when I scrutinize my appetite and when I find satisfaction in the Father's reward. Pause for me just for a minute. When I fast and I come to my Father's table, do you recognize that this table that you and I are hungering for, this table that we bow down before and in humility we say, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. I desire you and your will more than anything in this world. That we are feasting from a table that is pointing us to a feast we're going to enjoy in heaven. A marriage supper. I mean, God wants to feast with us. He wants to sup with us, church. Jesus is knocking at the door saying, come in, let me come in. I want to sup with you. Sit down at my table. Feast with me. Let me satisfy your longings. Let me satisfy what's going on in your soul. And if we only would humble ourselves and get away from these tables that the world is offering us, we'd find satisfaction. Realize this. When Jesus was fasting in the wilderness, this sly serpent came and said, here, turn these stones into bread. And if he had taken one bite and broken that fast, it would have meant no redemption for you and I. But he didn't. And so when I fast, I come and I worship the Father. God, the Father, I want to know your will, what it is you're calling me to do. Jesus, I worship you. I thank you that you were faithful, that you didn't give in to the offerings of the serpent, that you were faithful and you trusted in your Father to provide for you. You ask the Spirit, God, I pray your Spirit would help me to have self-control because there are things in my life, these appetites that are having control over me. God, crucify this. I yield myself to you. Take control. You're worshiping and fasting. It's authentic and it's true. And if you have the right attire, and if you're scrutinizing your appetites, and if you're seeking to find satisfaction in the Father's reward, then your feast will be a fast. Found an interesting thing reading yesterday through Pascal's Penses. He said, I fast, therefore I am. He understood that there was more than just the physical body. There's a soul. There's a soul that only God can satisfy. And I want to encourage you today that when you and I fast, wear the right attire. Scrutinize your appetite. And find satisfaction in our Father's reward. Will you pray with me? Lord, it is a question for each of us today to know, Father, whether we're finding satisfaction in something in which this world offers or whether our eyes are looking to you, feasting at your table. And so I pray, Father, that you would see through us and the masks that we frequently wear, in order, Lord God, that you would know that we authentically, genuinely, passionately crave you and your will. Father, I pray for every student and for all those that we minister to, that we might teach them how to fast so that they would hunger for you. And as the psalmist declared, we would taste and see that the Lord is good. Again, Father, you're the good shepherd that fills our cup to overflowing. Help us to drink from the saucer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. If you want more information on our academic programs, or if you would like to support our mission, visit www.swbts.edu.